The same chapter, only three or four verses before, is the part about not respecting persons. So you've gone and you picked out one part, love thy neighbor as thyself, but you violated another part. He said if you have respect to persons, you're guilty of sin and are convicted of the law, convinced of the law as transgressors. So the same law to which you appeal to condone your action, that same law also condemns you. And so he shows then a very important principle about law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You can keep the whole law, he says. And this word offend means to trip. But if you trip up in one point, you're guilty of all. Showing here that the law is one, and that the law is from one source. And you cannot pick out a part of the law and separate it from the rest of the law and say, this I keep and this I don't keep, but I'll be justified by this part that I keep. A criminal, for example, today who is serving time in the penitentiary, he's probably guilty of only one crime, been convicted of one crime, but yet he's looked upon as a criminal. The law regards him as an outlaw. The law regards him as being without of the bounds of the law. And it's not just a matter of the fact that he committed one crime and he's differentiated for that, but it's, that doesn't make that much difference, because if he'd have broke 10 laws, he's really no more of a criminal than if he really broke that one law. Another illustration of this is, this is one I read, which I thought was good. If you have a pasture that's fenced off and you have sheep in the pasture and the sheep jump over one part of the fence, they're out of the pasture. They don't have to jump over every section of that fence to get out of the pasture. Just jump over one section of it and you're out of the pasture. So it is with the law of God, or the law of the nation. If you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all, so far as the law goes. Because the law cannot be separated and fragmented. It's a unit. It comes from one lawgiver. So it concludes in verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. The person who kills, now we know that our Bible teaches that we're not to kill. Teaches it to the standpoint that we do not indulge in or engage in carnal warfare. That's a side teaching from this. That's not the primary teaching here. But a person who goes out here and kills somebody, when they put him on trial, if he stands up and announces to the court, I didn't commit any adultery, they're going to say it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter a bit. You still kill. You're guilty. He said, don't give me the death sentence because I didn't commit adultery. But committing adultery is not even under consideration. It's killing. So you can see that works both ways. So one does not justify the violation of the law by citing the fact that he's observed another part of the law. You can't justify that. And so the fact that you were partial between these two people, just because you showed brotherly love to one, does not alter nor deter nor change the fact that you are guilty of being partial. Doesn't change it at all. So that argument would just go right out the window, that we're just showing brotherly love because you were partial. So he says in verse 12, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now let us get one thing clear. Even though today we are not under the Old Testament law, we are under law. We are going to be judged by law, and we're to speak and we're to do as those that are going to be judged by the law of liberty. Now I'd like to read a couple of passages here just to show that this law of liberty is not the Old Testament law. In Matthew, in Acts 15, verse 10, this is Peter speaking. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He called that old law a yoke that neither we nor our fathers could bear. That's not the law of liberty. Again, in Romans 8, beginning with the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just showing there that we're not after that carnal law, the law of the flesh, the law of sin and death, but we are under a law now. We're under a law, the spiritual law. Here he calls it the law of liberty. We're going to be judged by it. And the principle that he's teaching here is, if you break one point of it, you've broken it all. You've got to keep it all. That's the principle he's teaching. Well, we're going to close at that verse, Lord willing, next time we begin with the 13th verse.